At the DGDG Mazda stores, we make car buying affordable. Hey, this is Sean Del Graham for Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. And we make car buying more affordable with sweet dealer discounts, low APR financing, low monthly lease payments, and even gas-saving plug-in hybrids. Come see how easy and affordable car buying can be at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley,
this is CUDA Confidential,
the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Hey, Barracuda fans. Welcome to another edition of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger. In this episode, we'll be joined by Barracuda General Manager Joe Will to talk about the upcoming 2024 NHL Draft. We'll take a look back at last year's Barracuda season. We'll look ahead and we'll touch on many other topics. Without further ado, here's Barracuda General Manager Joe Will.
Welcome back to the CUDA Confidential podcast. We are very pleased to be joined by the general manager of the San Jose Barracuda, Joe Will. Joe, that doesn't look like San Jose behind you. You're in Buffalo for the 2024 NHL Scouting Combine. It's a week-long process of workouts and interviews, but lay it out for us. What's going on over this 5-6 day span while you're in Buffalo?
Yeah, it's a busy and exciting time. I mean, having four picks, you know, early with 1, 14, 33, and 42, there's some serious opportunity here to, select some great players for the organization. So it's really a time to, come in. The guys have done most of their work for the year, but just to kind of fine tune with, having another talk with players. They've met most of them already, but just kind of, putting their final thoughts together, and there's some physical testing here, some medical testing and such. So it's gathering a little bit more information and getting ready for the draft in a couple of weeks.
The draft's June 28th, 29th in Vegas at the Vegas Sphere. So we're looking at roughly three and a half weeks before the draft. You'll finish up this week in Buffalo, and then I'm assuming you're coming back to the Bay Area, but how does the next 3 or so weeks look like for you and the rest of the staff?
Well, I think, we're trying to balance quite a few things right now. The draft is very, very important to us, as is going into, free agency on the first for both the Sharks and the Barracuda, and, re-signing players and such, and working on staff, of course. There's quite a few things going at once.
I know Mike Greer is a pretty stoic guy, but when the Sharks officially won the 2024 draft lottery, I saw him crack a smile. What was your visceral reaction to winning the lottery? I found myself reacting in a way maybe I didn't expect, in a way of excitement, because there's nerves that went into it, and you know you're going to get a player that has a lot of potential to be a star in the NHL. So what was your reaction when the Sharks won the draft lottery?
Well, it was a crazy day. I was actually in Chicago. We had American Hockey League governor's meetings there. So I was in Chicago, and then my flight got delayed at O'Hare. I was actually supposed to be on a plane on the way back, but it was delayed at O'Hare. So I just, like anxious all day waiting for this. And then I told myself, I'm in amongst probably 500 people waiting in line for a flight, and that I wasn't going to make any noise or anything. But I think people could feel it, even just kind of staying quiet, but pumping my fist, and a lot of people turn around, and I explained it to a few people, a lot of Sharks fans going back to the Bay Area. So they were very excited, but it just such a important and great day in the history of the franchise.
Well, this draft's going to be the final draft of this iteration. All staffs, front offices will be on site. That's going to change after this year, and due in large part to the fact that free agency is only days after that. You've got development camp. It's just a very condensed period of time that is somewhat overwhelming if you have to deal with travel issues. Some teams had issues last year getting into Nashville. This will be the final year of having teams on the draft floor. Is it bittersweet to say goodbye to this edition of the draft? But do you think it, in the long run, it is a little easier for folks like yourself to conduct what is a very busy couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think bittersweet's the right word. It's fun to be in a different city each year, and really, I think the NHL was really the first league to do that. You see, all the other leagues now are having bigger draft events. Well, we've been doing it for 30 years, going city to city and having a fan interaction there, and that's been great to watch that. And and on the other hand, is to be back in your home city. There's so much to do, and it gives you a little more space and planning and such to execute everything that you have to do at that time. But going to miss that interaction there, but it's still going to be a great and fan driven event.
How has the draft changed for you, and how have you seen it change over your time with the Sharks? You've been with the organization since its inception, so I'm sure a lot has changed with the draft since you first began back in the 90s.
Yeah, it's changed quite a bit. It was the first time I sat at a draft table was 1989 with the Minnesota North Stars, and the draft happened to be in Minnesota that year, so it was pretty special to do that, and then been at the draft table ever since. And it hasn't changed all that much, except for technology. It's still scouts doing their homework on people and going into the draft and selecting players a few less rounds, a lot more technology, which the technology and processes really kind of help us vet a little bit better. But still conceptually, very similar. It's a human business. It's trying to do the best you can with the most information you have.
Big signing for the Sharks over the last couple of weeks. Luca Cagnoni they brought in on an ELC, but Will Smith, obviously the big name, your top pick from last year. What does it mean for the organization to sign Will Smith and start this chapter of this next generation, I guess, of Sharks prospects?
It's a very exciting time. And, again, I think at times we kind of forget that we draft a lot of these players at 18. And in fact, some of them at 17 years old, and there's a timeline and most of them do go back and play a little bit as Will did for the year. And then it's just a matter of when they're ready and Will and the organization both agree that he's ready to come out and start playing pro hockey. It's very exciting. We're gonna, he's not the first. There's been a few others before him, of course, but there's gonna be a pipeline of players coming now, over the next while of accumulating these picks. And but Will's a special player. Picking first overall, that's huge. It's time to bring in some players that can, become the core of this franchise and grow with for a long time.
I know Sharks fans are excited about Will. They're excited about your potential first overall pick and 14th overall as well. There's lots of young, exciting prospects for Sharks fans to get excited about. Speaking of prospects, let's shift our attention to the Barracuda. It was announced right after the season ended by Mike Greer in a media scrum that John McCarthy would be back. That's official, but you've officially signed and, I guess, re-signed the coaching staff as a whole. So Louis Mass is back, Kyle Hagel also back to round out the Barracuda coaching staff.
Yeah, and very pleased to have them come back. They're great at development, and watching Shakir Makhmadoulin and Thomas Bortolo and many of the other players come up. They've been instrumental in getting them ready for the National Hockey League, and we're just very lucky to have them.
Well, there's a development process, right? Sometimes winning doesn't come instantly. We've seen it at the NHL level. The same thing can be said at the AHL level. When you draft these young players, it takes some time for them to develop and get comfortable at the professional game. J-Mac's now been with the organization as the head coach of the Barracuda for the last couple of years. Going into year number three, not to throw huge expectations on the group, but is there a shift in what maybe the goals are collectively for the Barracuda as the influx of talent continues to kind of fill the cupboard for this team?
I think it's, as I always say, it really is a balance of three things. And it's First and foremost, developing our players to be ready to play in the National Hockey League and be ready to play for the Sharks. Number two is having depth, everyday depth for the Sharks, and three is winning. And they're very close, to each other and very interdependent. I mean, we want our young players to win. That's part of the development. It's if you're playing hockey the right way, you're winning hockey games, and that comes with time. I think what we'll see this year is we'll have, last year we had so many first year players. We had a lot of new players. That does happen in the American League, but we had a lot of first year players. And that's hard. It's quite the adjustment. Next year we'll have a lot more second and third year players, a few first year, but more second and third year players. And usually with that, they've been around, they've seen a little bit more. It's a hard league to adjust to. And with that coming, I think you'll see players kind of settle more in their zone and be able to contribute and grow and such. And I do expect that we'll take a jump next year.
AHL, and I see it, and I've seen it for a handful of seasons. Look, it's not a linear process to win hockey games. There's injuries in the AHL. There's recalls to the NHL. There's a flow, if you will, of players more so than other leagues. So to win is maybe not as simple as just rolling out the same roster night in and night out. We haven't had a chance to catch up since the season concluded. So I did want to get your thoughts on this past year. The team obviously didn't make the playoffs, but there were a lot of good, exciting things. The play of a Shakir Mukhamudulin, Ethan Cardwell, 20-plus goals as a first-year player in the AHL, Thomas Bordalo starting in the American Hockey League, kind of getting his feet under him, going into the NHL and playing well. What were your overall thoughts of this last year's Barracuda Club?
Well, again, I think the development was a success. You saw, quite a few players grow throughout the year, and so that's really in place. The winning, I mean, there were some obstacles as well. We had injuries at the Sharks, and everything kind of trickles down to the Barracuda. So we had some injuries at the Sharks, especially down the middle, and we had some injuries with the Barracuda. So we had some depth. We had a lot of players coming in. Again, I think 16 new players last year. It'll be less, this year. But there was, success in developing players. It provided depth for the Sharks with, Bailey and Carpenter for most of the year, and then all the other players that came up, some to take a look at just to see where their development is at, and other guys just to come up because we had holes in the lineup. So the depth part was filled, and then just again the winning part is what we're working on and addressing. But part of it is just wading through the process. Every team in the American Hockey League, that's what makes it such a unique and interesting league, is everybody has to do it their own way because everybody's trying to accomplish different things at where they're at in their journey. And ours right now is just really, pumping in young players and putting them in the best environment to develop and ultimately to win at the same time.
Speaking of development and those young players, when you bring players in, you want them to play. You want to give them the best chance to succeed and put them in different situations. Look, the American Hockey League is a developmental league. It's important to win, but you want to get these guys in these situations. So how do you balance? You've got veteran players critical to uplifting these young guys, but how do you balance just the roles, where a guy plays, how much he plays, depending on where he is at in his season or in his career? How do you guys balance that? Is that talked about, or is that something that just occurs naturally? You're going to earn your playing time. You're going to earn your opportunity.
Yeah, it's talked about all the time. It's, it's one of the most difficult things on the American Hockey League or in the American Hockey League is that, pretty much all the players we bring in from Europe, college juniors, they've been the leading scorer. They've been the go-to person with their club. And their role does have to change as they go into, the second best league in the world and ultimately into the National Hockey League. When you go in the NHL, every player has been the best team, or best player growing up in their various amateur leagues, and they've had to adjust. Some will continue to do that. That's the top line players in the league, but everybody else needs to adjust. And the American Hockey League is just figuring out that adjustment, working with the player to, to figure out what works for them. We know what their assets are. We'll put them in a role to where we believe they can succeed. We don't, drastically try to change them because they've been, they have their own gifts, and we try and take that and say, okay, how is that going to work in the National Hockey League? And instead of really taking away from their game, we just try and add things to their game so that we don't take away or change too much of who they are as a player. But we try and give them the tools so that they can adapt, that they can adapt to a role and give themselves a better chance to number one, play more in the American Hockey League. And number two is to make it to the National Hockey League and have a successful career.
You have a new home for country music in the Bay Area.
Bay Country 94.5 and 92.1 in the East Bay.
I'm gonna need some whiskey glasses. Drinking beer almost as cold as you.
I still fall in the
bones. And Bobby Bones in the morning.
Hello to the Bay Area. I'm Bobby Bones. Make sure you wake up with us on Bay Country.
This is your invite to join us right now.
The Bay Area's making a move to the all-new Bay Country 94.5 and 92.1 in the East Bay.
Listen online from anywhere.
KBayCountry.com.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Shot score!
Watch all live San Jose Barracuda play-by-play with Nick Nolenberger on AHLTV.com. From highlight reel goals to spectacular saves and bone-crushing hits, the voice of the Barracuda, Nick Nolenberger, is on the mic for it all. Find all regular season and postseason action via AHLTV.com for a small fee. And for up-to-date stats and news, visit theAHL.com.
I know last year, the Barracuda at the end of the year at least ran into an issue where you had too many veterans. One was sitting out. You're kind of rotating that veteran player that sat out. And again, you can't predict where the team's going to be at. I think many thought Justin Bailey would maybe be with the Barracuda longer than he was. Ryan Carpenter's been in the NHL a lot, but he started with the Barracuda. Those two end up going up, and they never come back down. So it's hard to predict these veterans. But as you go into free agency and you look at the Barracuda too, how you can insulate that group as well, how do you approach free agency for the Barracuda? And do you look at it that far down the road that potentially we're going to have too many veterans in the AHL? Or do you not look at it like that because so much can change?
Yeah, it's every year is unique. Last year we had a lot of first year American Hockey League players or prospects coming in, and with that it was highly unlikely that many of those guys were going to be recalls for the Sharks. So the first thing we have to look at is you have to bring in some players that are recallable to the Sharks and make sure that you have that within the club. And that's why, you mentioned Carpenter and Bailey, and they came in because they were able to be, recalled to the Sharks, and they got recalled to the Sharks early, and they stayed for the year. And the Sharks had some other players that, were in some battles, some competitions for positions, and they ended up being, loaned to the Barracuda, and they were veterans as well. So it's a constant shift. I don't know if everybody realizes you do only get five veterans in the American Hockey League. That's players of, with 320 pro games or more. And that's called the development rule, the AHL development rule. And that's just to make sure that teams just don't load up with independent players and kind of it becomes a more of a chase surprise league rather than a development league. And so you're allowed to have five. So you carefully have to try and take those and put those over positions. You don't often you don't even use all five. Like the year we went to the conference finals against Grand Rapids back in 2017, I think we only had two veterans that year. So you don't always need them, but veteran players can provide great leadership and performance for your club. But we just use the summer or this time of year is really to. It's mostly about, you start with your prospects, you put your prospects in, and then we hit the first wave of kind of a free agency slash second tier prospects, which is, is some of the college free agents we signed, is some of the junior free agents we signed and such. And those are players you can kind of sign after their year. And then the third part is July 1st, when free agency opens up for pro players in the NHL and the AHL. And that's, again, where we go in and we try and say, okay, who's going to be recallable to the Sharks? Who's going to help us win? Who's going to like help develop Frederick Bystad, for instance, by, you know, just being a great player for him to play with, or a role setter. So it's just trying to balance many, many things within there. At the same time, trying to put together a roster that can win. So you try and balance all that as much as possible. And then you try and prepare for all the holes that get shot in your plan throughout the year through injuries and recalls and things like that. And which is part of it. And that's a little bit of depth and such. So, it's American Hockey League touches all of our areas, from amateur scouting or the Barracuda, from amateur scouting to pro scouting, to player development, to the NHL. And so there's a lot of people really involved in talking through this process.
Development camp is coming up in early July. We'll have a prospect scrimmage on July 4th. What gets you excited about that week-long period of seeing some of these guys in the flesh?
Well, it's exciting because, you know, we'll have players from the upcoming draft in there. They'll leave Vegas and come right to San Jose and participate in this camp. So it's a first look at a number of guys, you know, at a pro camp, and not just on the ice, but just to get to know them a little bit more as people. And it's important for them because, you know, the more exposure they get, even if they go back to college or junior, they've met some of their teammates, they've met the coaches, they've been given some information on things to work on and such. So that's really exciting to now you draft them, now you get your hands on them to you know, start the development process, and then see the progress that a lot of the other second, third, fourth time guys have, you know, coming back, and the progress they made throughout the year. And again, you watch them sometimes live, sometimes on video, but it's different when you actually have them, you know, under your own roof and can kind of see that. And the competition is there. You know, I really look forward to that. You come in and that's the ultimate motivator and driver for all these guys, is to compete with each other. You know, you see Will Smith's going to come in and figure out his group, and the players we draft this year, they're going to go in and figure out who they're kind of competing with. And you got Musty and Haltonen and Cagnani and Bystad, Edstrom. You know, first time we'll have David Edstrom coming over, and so it's just exciting to get them all on the ice at the same time.
You mentioned all those names. I'm just curious, going into training camp, I don't know if this has shifted or if this is kind of the approach, but if a guy comes in, a younger player, and makes an impression in training camp, are you guys open-minded to where he ends up landing depending on how he plays? Is that kind of the approach at this point, that young guys, if they play well, at least they're going to open up some eyeballs that they're closer than we thought, or we're going to give them a chance early? Is that kind of where the organization is at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. We look at this as a development camp, not an evaluation camp, and there's a big difference. And, you know, we want players to come in and learn and make mistakes along the way, because it's a lot of teaching throughout there. But we do have a scrimmage, we do have some competitions and things like that, and we're all human. So we go out and you do look and see, you know, who's ready, you know, who's kind of rising to the occasion, and taking the jumps, and then you do start to formulate in your own head, like, okay, maybe this player's a little bit more ready. And within that, it keeps you humble, because every year, some players you think are going to be the players that are going to surprise you and show you the most, maybe they're a little bit more quiet, and there's some other players that just like you didn't even think twice about, and they were pretty hungry and they worked on a few things and they came back and they really turn your head. So it can also be very humbling and to see that, but that's what, you know, competition does. And that's where, you know, some players who are given a lot, they get a little bit comfortable, and it's, that's all part of the process. And other players that, you know what, they're probably the, put down in the lineup or sat out a little bit here. They're, know, they went back, they were ticked off, they worked on a few things, and they come back and they turn their heads as they should. So it's I love that part of the process as well.
Is it fun to see some of these guys that if they were with the Barracuda last year, they come back with a little bit of an extra swagger or confidence, almost like a leadership sense because they've been through some of this? Is that fun to see too? Just the growth from the end of the year to development camp for some of these guys?
Absolutely. We try and set it up to where it is kind of a leadership exercise as well. We talk specifically to some of the Barracuda players and some of the players that have been here for a few years and say, okay, now you're coming in, you've been through this, you're an example setter. We have some 18, 19 year old players coming in and, you know, pass it along to them. It's now your turn to be the leaders of them. So, and we do that all the way into the rookie tournament. As a rookie tournament, you know, we give letters and we give responsibilities and things like that as well. So, I mean, leadership training throughout that, you know, the whole process of the development camp, the rookie camp, everything else is it's deliberate. Todd Marchant and his group do a great job in kind of setting up our leadership training and expectations.
Well, Joe, this was great. I know you're a very busy guy. I've got one more question for you. We've got the draft. We've got development camp. We've got everything leading into it. When is Joe Will going to have some time to take a vacation this summer?
Well, I think it's kind of on the fly. So the things we're doing, it's work, but it's also a lot of fun. So right. In the summer, it'd be more like, you know, later July and the month of August. That's when it kind of works out in our business on there. You find the time, but I'm blessed to be in something that I love to do and so excited about this draft and development camp. And it really is a labor of love. And that's where the excitement is right now is watching the promise of the future come in. And right now it's not just a few players, but it's quite a few players that are looking very exciting. And along with that too, it's that helps with the competition. So, but long story short, July, August.
Well, I know you'll enjoy it, but there's a palpable buzz in the organization amongst fans, amongst staff. There's no question about it that excitement is getting renewed in this organization, and there's lots of young players that'll be joining the fold in the coming weeks. So, Joe, we appreciate the time. Safe travels back from Buffalo. Enjoy the rest of the week. Have a great rest of your month. Good luck in the draft, and we look forward to seeing you during development camp.
Thanks, Nolly. Appreciate it.
A big thank you to Barracuda General Manager Joe Will for joining us on this edition of CUDA Confidential. For the entire Barracuda organization, I'm Nick Nolenberger saying thanks for listening and so long until next time.
They say the game starts when the puck is dropped, right? Wrong. NHL Preplay presented by GEICO is the game before the game. It's the free-to-play daily NHL Pick'em game. So how's it work? Every game day before the puck is dropped, answer up to 10 questions and earn points for a chance to win $50,000. It's that easy. Score big with the game before the game. Play today on the NHL app or at nhl.com/preplay.
The Hilton San Jose is the preferred hotel of the San Jose Sharks and SAP Center in San Jose. Experience something new. Close to home or from across the world, the Hilton San Jose is there for you with memorable offers and experiences. Enjoy the brand new guest rooms with luxurious Waldorf Astoria beds and upgraded amenities. We're committed to creating a safe and relaxing experience, including delivering an even cleaner stay from check-in to check-out. Visit sanjose.hilton.com now to make your reservation. We are Hilton. We are hospitality.
The Sharks know that the key to victory is inspiration. Looking for openings, creating opportunities, leaving it all on the ice. This is the type of inspired play that leads to the Stanley Cup. At Western Digital, We believe you should be empowered and inspired by the data that surrounds you. Our powerful flash and HDD storage solutions fuel new possibilities for everyone from students, gamers, and home offices to some of the largest enterprises and public clouds. Western Digital, a proud official partner of your San Jose Sharks.
Being there for live NHL games means more thrilling face-offs, more action, and more memories made for the whole family. And when you need tickets to catch the San Jose Sharks at the ice, Ticketmaster's got you covered. As the official ticket marketplace of the San Jose Sharks and the NHL, Ticketmaster gives you more ways to find your perfect seat with a wide selection of tickets available for every game. And if your plans change, Ticketmaster gives you more flexibility to sell or transfer your tickets. Plus, mobile tickets make it easy to get into the arena in time for puck drop. Check out the full schedule of upcoming games and get tickets today at Ticketmaster.com.